You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Gold Hawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Now, let's continue with Gold Hawk Fights Back with Dale Gold Hawk on Zoomer Radio.
12:06, time enough, I say, time enough to say good afternoon to Susan Eng, my colleague at CARP. She's the executive vice president of CARP. Susan, great to see you.
Good to see you.
Haven't seen you since the CARP AGM and all the goings on there, and talking about what a successful gathering of CARP members from across the country it really was.
It was. And what was great about it this time was that we had, of course, just come off the federal election, and there were a few changes that the members were able to share about the things they'd done in their own communities around the election. Several of them had election forums or debates.
Right.
And they were really engaged with it. We were able to talk about the fact that the now Prime Minister had come to last year's AGM. We had hoped to bring him back as Prime Minister, but that will come soon enough.
Well, that, you've got 4 years to do
exactly.
That, at least 4 years, right?
And yeah. In the meantime, of course, he stopped in, and we talked about this last time, he stopped in at CARP headquarters to deliver his platform for seniors, our priorities, and then he used a clip from that presentation in the now famous Hazel ad. So we had a good time talking about those issues.
I bet you did. And now that we know the cabinet, we know who they are, we know who the major players are going to be, what was your overall impression as they started walking up the roadway at Rideau Hall, and you could say, oh, because you could recognize many
exactly.
of them.
Exactly.
You knew exactly who was going to
well,
be in cabinet.
Don't forget, through all the administrations, we work with whomever will talk to us, first of all. And we bring our issues both to government and to the opposition. So needless to say, we've had a lot to do with the various critics on our files. And so John McCallum, now that he's in charge of immigration, now that specific file was not what we talked with him about. He was in charge of pensions and seniors when he was the critic role. Health was another issue that we definitely have have a number of issues around. Finance, of course.
Of course.
And with finance, I worked with Bill Morneau on the Ontario Registered Pension Plan, the ORPP, in the technical advisory group. So I've a little touching acquaintance with him and some understanding of where his priorities will be. So on our major files, we've had a lot to do with the various now ministers as well.
Exactly. So the whole dynamic between people that CARP has known changes a bit. Now it's in the hands of a majority government in a position to do things on behalf of CARP members and others, of course, actually get things done, actually try to accomplish something.
Well, exactly. And one of the things that's interesting is that I know it will be one of your next questions, but let me anticipate. Is there a minister for seniors? Well, we haven't been able to find out if there's going to be a specific function assigned to any particular minister in relation to seniors issues. Now, there are a number of ways to look at that. First of all, the minister for seniors or the person responsible for seniors was never a cabinet position. And from the viewpoint of advocacy groups like ours, they were generally the efficient point of reference or contact with the government. And that was intentional so that all of the various NGOs could have one person they could contact with in order to get their priorities brought to cabinet. But recognizing that they're not even sitting at the cabinet table, they have a responsibility with not a lot of authority at the end of the day to make it a priority. So now what we have here is a situation in which we have already brought these priorities forward to the now ministers of government. And so to some extent, the quarterbacking of getting these things done now rests with those ministers rather than with a seniors minister.
Well, that sounds to me like a better arrangement anyway. I
Absolutely.
Mean, you can see a minister responsible for seniors being a bit of a catch-all in some cases. I'm just talking theoretically,
yes.
really. And that it might be better to go directly to the person in charge of a ministry, because you could rattle off a whole list of ministries that are very appropriate and fitting for CARP to be dealing with.
Well, absolutely, including, I mean, I've mentioned finance, health, and finance, health, and justice, for instance, is another one that we would be working with. And so these are the ones that, we would go directly to them. It's already now part of their election platform. Our job now is to have them fulfill those promises.
How do you go about that, Susan?
Well, we're going to let them rest a bit, get organized, run away.
They might want to get briefed a bit on their portfolios.
Find out where the washrooms are and so on.
Exactly.
And then we will start tapping on their shoulders, first with a light congratulations letter, with a copy of our annual report, our advocacy report, to give them an idea of the kinds of things they could be part of in the future. And then we will contact them one after another. And we've already lobbed a couple of, balls over the fence.
Well, and of course, the good news in terms of immediate effect is the fact that Justin Trudeau, during the campaign and after, is four square for the ORPP in Ontario, has already apparently instructed officials in the CRA to deal with Ontario so that one system of collecting these contributions can be put into place, thereby saving everybody some money. It only made good sense, right?
Absolutely. And it costs him no money.
Yeah.
Probably gain him a few dollars because they have to pay for
Ontario would have to pay the feds.
Yeah, a little bit for that service. But you see, there are so many things that have just dropped one after another that were a function of, those attitudes of stop doing that, right? So, for example, stop getting in the way of a perfectly good idea. Another was those mailboxes. Canada Post said, we're going to stop doing that silly thing now. And what? It makes you think, well, it wasn't a good idea before because they had no good reason to defend it now. Just cause. So some of these things are going to change just because. And those would be easy gains on our little checklist of the things that have to change.
Well, that's true. And the retirement age as well.
Well, that requires specific action.
Of course.
But with
a majority government, that should not be a problem.
Well, here's the thing. Remember that the previous majority government acted as if there was never any opposition.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to do it because we can. One thing that's really important for democratic reform in this country is that even if you beat everybody else, you are still required to take that representation into consideration because they represent the rest of the country that didn't vote for you.
Two-thirds of the country that didn't vote for you, roughly speaking.
And Prime Minister Trudeau did commit on election night when he won that he would now be governing for all Canadians. Now, everybody can say that.
Easy to say, maybe a little harder to live up
exactly.
to.
Exactly. So not absolutely everybody agreed with his various priorities, but certainly on our files. Our members of Foursquare in support.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, there are other opinions on the table. So to the extent that any issue is controversial, he'll want to consult broadly. But I think that there is a recognition that this is the grand thrust of things and that we need to get on it. One thing that I want to raise, and it has a time limit on it, and we might feel that as a country we need more time, and that is the issue of assisted dying. The Supreme Court set a February 2016 deadline. The previous government dragged their feet so long, so now we have hardly any time left. The provinces, in exasperation, chose to work together to have a committee, a panel. We just appeared before them last week to talk about, so what are the concerns around setting up the appropriate checks and balances? What are necessary? Are the various pieces of legislation as models adequate, or do we need to do something more? Do we need to talk about this some more, how should we proceed from this point on? That has some urgency.
Well, and we don't really know what the federal government itself, what it's... I mean, we know generally speaking they're in favor. I mean, that was brought up a bit during the campaign, but we don't know now what the government might choose to do.
Well, there are a few things that are things on the ground and things that they have to think about. One is that there is a panel, a federal panel, which has been criticized by those who support moving ahead with fulfilling the Supreme Court's ruling, who suggest that the panel members, two out of the three, are biased against, and that and they have proclaimed that they will carry on nonetheless until somebody tells them to stop. And there are
maybe that can be arranged. Maybe
well,
that's what the
there are community
saying.
Groups who are saying, you know, disband that thing right now. We have the provinces getting their act together to consult widely. The colleges of physicians and surgeons across the country have been also putting their oars in the water.
Indeed.
And there is a lot of activity here. The question is, how will it be consulted?
Well, then it needs a federal government and it needs a prime minister to say, okay, let's do this on the same page.
Yep.
Let's do this together and get it right.
So something has, they have a few choices, practical choices, one of which includes asking the Supreme Court for an extension of time. That might be a possibility.
Which would not be unreasonably withheld,
no,
would it?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that depending on the mood of the country at the time that they choose to ask, you know, they're likely to be granted. However, the countervailing force is that every day families are met with this concern in Canada.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, you know, you choose one way of looking at it to say, well, we've waited this long. We can wait a couple of months more. Or on the other hand, it's so urgent. Let's get on it now. So that I don't envy them that decision.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
Goldhawk Fights Back on Zoomer Radio. Here is Dale Goldhawk.
Well, and I'm here. I'm not alone. I'm with Susan Eng, who is the the executive vice president at CARP, the nonpartisan group that works with any government it can, as Susan said, in order to get the aims and objectives fulfilled for CARP members. And CARP members are never timid about telling the rest of us exactly what it is they want.
Absolutely. It's interesting. You know, first of all, we're nonpartisans. You never know who's going to become government.
Well, given, that's right.
Given
yeah.
some of the, you know, trend lines of late, you would never be able to guess. However, I will say that our members, first of all, get very clear about the priorities that they want us to pursue. They were also very clear about who they were going to vote for. And here's something that's going to be apocryphal, because the polling industry is busily congratulating itself right now for calling it, right?
As always,
and
yes.
So all the time they were uniform and unanimous in saying, well, it's a three-way race, right? You remember that?
Of course.
And then they said, okay, the NICAB was what made the difference. And that's when everybody split up. So during that period of time, between the call of the election and the NICAB date, I was looking at our polling numbers and thinking, oh, crap, I think our system is broken because I've got a completely different result.
Right.
So I thought, well, either somebody's hacked in or the system is broken or whatever.
Well, what was it saying at that point too?
And don't forget, we were still getting 2,000 to 3,000 respondents. What we saw in our polling was on the day of the election call. Up until now, there was a three-way tie.
Yeah.
But on the election call, right away, you had the Liberals and the Tories tied and the NDP broke away. They were dropping. And they dropped and never recovered in our polling. And so it wasn't the NICAB issue that everybody was talking about. It was that our members, who are the core voters, had decided that this was going to be a battle of the titans. It was an important change, and they were going back to the usual duality of the Conservatives or the Liberals. And they stayed, the two stayed tied, and the NDP were off the grid until around the niqab period, but the breakaway came in the first foreign affairs debate. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, the liberals were leading all the way to the end. And so if you looked at our graph, and then the very last period, they had this hockey stick.
Oh, it went way up, didn't it, right near the end.
And so just before the election, we could have predicted a liberal majority. But once again, I was afraid because I'm not an official pollster in any way, shape, or form.
No, it's
really not our business to say that.
It's not anybody's business to say that because at that point, I think, the people will speak.
Exactly.
The people will tell us who should be the government. Mm. It was certainly interesting. And it certainly does indicate that CARP members and those who would like to become CARP members are the people who vote in this country and form an incredibly powerful voting bloc.
Well, exactly. And it's not so much that they bunch up deliberately. It's that they happen to. If you look at chaos theory, this is the group, if you just bounce all the balls on the table, this is a group that settles around certain priorities. And there could be a million things they care about, but these are the common ones. These are the issues they congregate around, and that these are the issues that drive their vote.
And often the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
To some extent.
Isn't that true?
I mean, we have 300,000 members. They don't speak with one voice. There's
no, of course
way.
Not. Well, you wouldn't want them to. No. I mean, they're people who have lived their lives. They're very active, plugged-in people, though.
Yes.
I keep reminding myself that every time I meet a bunch of them, as we did a few days ago, Mary and I, you know that. They're still very connected and plugged into what's going
on.
And
they're interested in the levers of power and the processes of democratic responsibility. For example, at our annual general meeting and chapter congress, we had Michael Chong, he of the Reform Act, to reform Parliament itself, and Patrick Gossage, who used to be the press secretary for Trudeau the Elder.
That's right.
And so we had this session in which we talked inside baseball of the, just how the PMO works, how the caucus works with its leader, those kinds of things that most other people couldn't possibly be bothered. Whereas our members, our chapter, the leadership, the voluntary leadership from across the country just lapped it up. That's what really rings their bell about the processes.
Yeah. Now, in terms of these new cabinet ministers, we went through some of them. What about the health minister, Jane Philpott? Have you had any contact with her yet?
In fact, we tweeted a congratulations ahead of us sending a letter to congratulate her, and she tweeted right back, yes, I'll look forward to working with you. So that may end once she gets gets into place. I think they limit their Twitter access after that.
Or somebody tweets on their behalf, of course.
Nonetheless, the point is, we put our oar in early, make sure that it's clear that we will be in contact with our full list. I mean, there are a lot of things that are happening even as we speak that have changed. For example, the long-form census. The long-form census is something our members cared a lot about.
Yeah.
And when we asked them about it, they had a huge, at that point, they were very supportive of the then government. But on that issue, they reversed their support, definitely. And here it is. It's going to come back. Like stroke of the pen. These are the kinds of things where it matters. And they are things that are not hard to fix.
Yeah, exactly so. Susan, thanks very much for coming in and keeping us up to date on what's going on. We'll see you maybe next Tuesday, I'm thinking. Okay. Were you making a face or you were smiling
in
anticipation?
Oh, no, I'm always happy to come.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm always happy to come.
Susan, great to see you. Susan Eng is the Executive Vice President of CARP.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.